101.1 of Wiz, Cincinnati's number one for hip hop and R&B. Home of the rest of our morning show. Miss Ebony J, the host that does the most, holding you down on the only show where real talk meets real people, exclusively right here on WizNation.com, The Ebony J Show. Today, we're going to be talking about HIV and AIDS. National Awareness for HIV and AIDS Awareness Day just passed this weekend. And I think it's only right that we have a guest who can come and really speak on this topic and talk about some things that they're doing in the community to help bring awareness to HIV and AIDS. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please brace yourself for Queen Trisha Ridgett. How are you doing, Queen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great.
So glad that you were able to come on the show and talk with me today.
Well, I'm glad that you could finally, that your weather is permitting it.
I know, right? It's always a hater, you know.
So is the weather like, is it really that bad out there right now?
Well, it's not bad in Cincinnati. I'm actually in Cincinnati and it's not as bad, but Cleveland got it horribly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're really, really behind. Today we're just really cold, but today, one day we see snow, the next day it ain't no snow. It's real weird down here.
Okay, and I was whining about the bone-chilling wind here in Dallas, and it was only like in the 30s.
See, you better be grateful.
And no snow.
Now, are you from Dallas?
No, I'm originally from Alabama, but I've been in Dallas for like 31 years, but you can X out that 31 so people can't figure out my age.
Okay, I was about to say, darn. Okay, then, you sound like you're looking good for your age, though.
I try.
Don't sound like I'm talking to an old woman.
Yeah, I try. Like, yeah, my daughter will be 20 next month, and I have a 15-year-old son. So, yeah, I'm getting up there.
Okay, well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a filmmaker. I have my MBA in finance with a minor in project management. I've been making films for 8 years. I come from, my background is actually in, IT and project management. So I used to manage, projects. So it actually translated well over into the film industry because as a producer, you know, you're managing a project. So,
correct. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about your film circles, though, because you've done different. You said you've been doing films for 8 years.
Yeah, I've done several films, but circles is it's based on a novel that I published when I owned a publishing company years ago, and it's about some young adults who are just living their lives very irresponsibly.
Yeah.
And they're not even thinking about the consequences. Some of these are strangers, and what ties them together is HIV.
Wow. So what drove you to make this movie? Because I heard a little bit more about it. What inspired this film?
I have two loved ones in my life who actually passed away from complications of HIV/AIDS.
Wow.
And so one of them was an uncle, and I really, really, really loved him. And I didn't get to, I didn't get to see him, you know, while he was dying. But, it, you know, just the thought, it really hurt me. Now, I did have a close friend that also passed from it, and I did see him. I actually saw him on his deathbed in the hospital, and it hurt, you know.
Yeah.
So after that, I started volunteering at HIV/AIDS clinics in Dallas. And so I got to meet a lot of people and hear a lot of stories. And, you know, from there, once I received this manuscript and published this book, I was like, you know what, if we could get the youth to actually see this from a real-life perspective, then maybe, you know, it'll make a change. And so when I've done screenings like in the past for this movie, of course, you know, the majority of the audience is, you know, possibly in their early 20s to mid-30s, and they're all, like, floored. Like, oh, my God. Like, okay, this is making me think differently now as it relates to casual sex.
Right. I think our generation, too, it's not always as easy to really have those conversations about sex. Has never been easy. Let's say that. But when we talk about HIV and AIDS even more, when it gets to talking about STDs, period, I feel no one really wants to have those conversations. So, like, in this film, are we going to see conversations being had or not being had? Like, what are we going to learn?
Yes, we're going to see conversations. You actually get to witness the spread.
Wow.
Like, you actually get to witness this person sleeping with this person that has no clue that this person is infected. This person might not even know that they're possibly infected. And so you actually get to see the circle.
Wow. Okay. And I know you can't tell the story, but just,
I can't.
But the fact of like just the fact of just talking about, you know, the fact that you just said they all share the similarity that they have HIV.
Yes, and they all come from various backgrounds. You know, you have your thug, you have your college-educated law student, you have your manufacturing worker who's also in college. You know, you have your customer service woman. Like, you just, everybody comes from just different backgrounds.
So you basically show that nobody's exempt.
Yes, because HIV/AIDS does not discriminate.
You right about that. Because you were inspired by real life situations and real life people, are there going to be some similar stories in here? Like, are you using kind of real life issues to place inside the story?
Not from my perspective, but, you know, these issues are, like I said, they're based on the book, but some of the issues have been tailored, you know, of course, to just so that it has the real feeling.
Okay. See, that's like how, what's that movie? For Color Girls? Is it like, you know how he really went to the extreme? So we really was able to like feel like, oh my goodness, she just lost her baby. They just went through that. You're going to give us, this is going to be an emotional movie. We're going to have a emotion after we watch it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Tell listeners where the free screenings will be held.
There is one actually this Thursday, February the 12th, at Prince George College in Largos, Maryland.
Okay.
And then there's the 13th, which is next Friday, and that's in North Carolina at John C. University. I'm sorry, Johnson C. University. And then there's one in Dallas on the 19th at the Magnolia Theater.
Okay, so if we're not in any of those cities or states, how can they purchase their own copies?
You can go to www.tigereyefilms.co. So that's TIGEREYEFILMS.CO.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Trisha, tell me this. When did you discover your love for filmmaking?
I've always wanted to do it, but just like everybody else, you know, it seems larger than life. And so I didn't know how I would do it. And so when I owned a publishing company, you know, some years back, I just decided to take a little short story and script it. I had to teach myself everything, of course. So I learned how to script this little short story, and me and some other people, we just went out and filmed it. And that's when I realized, like, this is not as cumbersome as I thought it would be. Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And so after I did that, when I did one more short, and then I was like, you know what? Let me go for a full feature. And I pulled some people together, and pretty much all of us were first-time filmmakers. I mean, we all had the passion for it, but we hadn't necessarily worked on a film. We'd worked on other projects, music videos, short films, stage plays, but never a film. So pulled everyone together, and we, you know, we got it done and submitted it to some film festivals. It got picked up, and, you know, the rest was history. So now it's on sale.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Get it done. What was your first film? Do you remember?
It was just for a contest, and I don't even remember the name of that film because it don't even matter.
I heard that. It says bigger, bigger, and better now. Please don't bring that film up.
Yeah, let's just forget about that.
It'd be like that. You'd be like, don't tag me. I know you seen it on YouTube, but don't tag me. Shit. Like, they ain't got it grown. Exactly. That's how the internet be.
Yeah. Like, my name don't have nothing to do with that.
Right. You know, I had to start from the bottom, but I'm where I'm at now. Film circles is real.
Exactly.
Back to the film, though. What are your thoughts and views regarding HIV and AIDS in our communities?
I feel like it's preventable. And it's preventable by through education, through awareness, and through caring about yourself. You know, I don't feel like, you know, it has poverty written on it. You know, like, they try to put out these statistics that the rates are higher in impoverished areas. No, it's just that people with money can afford that medication, and so they don't have to go out and they don't look like they have it.
Right.
So, you know, and the people in the lower income communities, of course, they can't afford the medication, so the effects take toll on their bodies a lot sooner. So I just think that people need to love themselves. When you get to a point where you really love yourself, then you take care of yourself. And that can be in any community.
Now, when it comes to having those conversations, what is your advice to someone who may feel that it's uncomfortable to have this conversation, or, you know, just someone that I just talk to a lot of young kids, and asking their partners about their sex background isn't something they do. You know, back in the day, I remember it used to be so uncomfortable if whoever you were talking to asked, you know, how many partners have you had? You know, that was always the thing back in my time, was how many partners have you been encountered with, or how many partners have you had? And everybody was nervous to have that conversation, but I don't think this generation at all asks that question, period.
I don't think that they ask, but I don't think that they have a problem with telling it either nowadays. You know, now it's almost cool because it's accepted. I mean, it's sex is on the internet, it's on your social media, it's on television. I mean, it's really nothing to hide,
right,
from what I can tell, you know, from what I see, except from your parents.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to point blame, but I feel parents don't have these conversations about AIDS and AIDS. I don't feel parents are comfortable to have the sex talk, period. We have some parents that do, but I don't think that there is many.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, but I'm with you. I don't understand. You know, from when my kids were at an early age, I was having the conversation about sex and STDs and which ones can kill you and which ones, you know, have a life-altering effect that might not kill you. Like, we've had those conversations, and I don't see anything wrong with it, especially in this day and age. You need to have those conversations. Like, it's a must. It's just like smoking weed, you know, they're legalizing it, but you need to have that conversation with your kid, like, what weed to smoke and what weed not to smoke, because some weeds now could kill you. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as a weed killing you.
Right
you about got it. High.
It is now, right. So from the parents that are listening, what would you say to them? What would you say to that parent that says, I'm not having this talk with my child because I don't want her to think that I condone it?
Do you want your child to live longer than you? Or do you want to have multiple visits in the hospital with your children, you know? Again, this is just a different day and age. And, you know, maybe go take a trip to some of these hospice units, because you can definitely go visit the hospice units and talk to patients and see the various ages. You know, run the statistics in your area for HIV positive test in the high schools in that particular area.
I know what's real bad in the Cincinnati area has been, I think it was herpes. I remember we had really big statistics for that here, and chlamydia and gonorrhea was really, really bad, especially when it came to, I think it said 16 to 20-year-olds. Like, the young kids are getting it now.
And syphilis is another one that's back on the rise.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I did see that. Say sex is just very important.
It's very important. I mean, and we all want to say just don't do it, but, you know, people are going to do what they want to do.
You're right. Yeah.
Especially children.
They are. So let's just be clear. Me and Miss Trissa, we're not saying that you cannot have sex. We understand everybody has needs, everybody has urges, but we're just saying be safe.
Absolutely.
And like you said, the main thing you said that I loved, it's preventable.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to happen to you. You can't be mad. You can't be mad at the situation. You can control your destiny. And sex, you don't want that to be the thing that kills it all.
Absolutely. And go by circles. And you watch circles and you see these real life events. And that'll shake you up, too. Because it's not just the children. It's the parents, too. And now it's the grandparents.
Wow. Oh, this movie gonna be deep. You done pulled grandma in it?
Well, not necessarily grandma in the movie. However, if you check the rates of the elderly contracting the virus, those numbers are increasing too.
Oh, yeah, especially in the nursing home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, again, some of them think it's just the cold.
Girl, I didn't even realize they were being able to do that kind of stuff in nursing homes.
So, like, Viagra. Actually.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. I would think there would be some kind of rules, but I guess he like, shoot, I'm up in here and it's a whole bunch of them. I'm having a ball. I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
Girl, just thinking of it. So I want to ask you this. What inspires you to do what it is that you do?
The love for the completion of the project. Even when I'm reading, I'm a visual reader. So I love movies.
Okay.
And I love the mechanics of a film, you know, how it's created. I just love it, all of that. I love the pressure. I love the stress. You know, I like working under those conditions.
Okay, I was about to say, you better be, hey, if you loving it like that, honey, you was born to do it. Written in your destiny.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with you. But before you go, I do want to get your favorite quotes or your philosophy on life that you live by that keeps you going, that keeps you motivated. Share it with us so, you know, we can get some of that extra strength.
My favorite quote, and it is actually on all of my email chains, but it's, when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. And that's from The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Okay. And what does that mean to you?
That everything is obtainable. And if you want it, and if it's in your greater good to have it, then the universe, God, will help you to achieve that.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I most definitely agree. Well, thanks again, Queen, for coming through and having real talk with me. I definitely appreciate it. And everybody, go check out this film. If they want to learn more about you and the film itself, where do they go?
Everything is out on my website. So, again, that is www.tigereyefilms.co. So that's TIGEREYEFILMS.co. And then I can also be found on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and my handle for everything is just Trisha Woodgett. That's TRICIAWOODGETT.
You talking about 30 years, girl, Bob. Not working all of them handles. You got more than me. Well, Miss Trisha, thank you so much for joining me on the only show where real talk meets real people, the Ebony J Show, exclusively right here on 101.1 The Wiz.